Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast, and my website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my newsletter when you get there. You can join the 10,000-strong members of my subscriber list to get my newsletter every week, and which is only a fraction of the number that our guest this half-hour, Rich Galen, has in his mailing list. He's got a really big list at mullings.com. Rich is the editor, publisher, and the writer of that outstanding publication. Rich is one of our top political hacks, as he calls himself, and in the interest of full disclosure, he's of the Republican persuasion, but we love him anyway. Rich, welcome back to the show.
You know, thank you, Jim. You know, I was reading your column yesterday, and every listener that owns a small business needs to read that column. That was absolute brilliance. What Jim was describing was how small businesses can compete against the big boxes, and the basis of it was service and presentation and some kind of, when I worked for EDS, certainly not a small business, the idea was a value differentiation. How could we offer software and services that were different from the other guys? And often it did not come down to price. Often that's why we use the word value. And what you described in that column, I think brilliantly, was the difference between volume and price and how small business men and women can use value to attract customers and increase margins. I thought it was just brilliant.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, and of course, I certainly wasn't going to interrupt you while you were waxing eloquently about that. But anyway, thank you for that. Well, one of the things that I tried to do there was to explain the difference between what people need and what they want. And yeah, we need to let the big box companies get people what they need, and then let the small business owners need to get people what they want. And so anyway, you'll have to read the article to get the rest of it, folks. But thanks for that, Rich. Rich, we're heading into the silly season. We're a little more than a year away from the 2004 elections.
When the
nation will decide if we keep the current administration and a number of senators and congressmen and women, or if there are some turnovers, in which there will be some, but will there be the big turnover in the White House? That's the big news. And there are 10 people who would really like to have Mr. Bush's job, and, of course, I'm assuming he would like to keep his job. And so how are things looking for both sides?
Well, this is one of those things where whoever's down in the polls say it's too early to tell. When you're up in the polls, say, look at the polls. When you're down, you go, it's too early to tell. And right now the polling numbers aren't terrific for the president, but they're not. I mean, it is too early to tell. As an example, at this point in Bill Clinton's first term, which is to say September, October of his first term, his job approval numbers were 44-44. The last major poll that came out the other day had President Bush at 51. And the only reason we mention that is because a year later, Clinton handled Bob Dole fairly easily. Mm-hmm. 8 years before that, or however many years it was, in 1983, Ronald Reagan was at 48% job approval at this point in his first term. And, of course, he went 49-50 in the reelection campaign. Having said that, it's only – you have to be reasonable and point out that Jimmy Carter and Herbert Walker Bush
41.
Had crappy numbers, and they didn't win re-election. So, you know, it depends on what happened.
In the third year, if I'm not mistaken, Bush 41 had, like, I don't know, some kind of an astronomical approval rating in his third year.
It was on its way down fairly dramatically by this time. It was, I think, headed in the direction that it finally ended up. But, you know, the big number is going to be, the big issue is going to be the economy, it seems to me, and it seems to most people who watch this stuff and have watched this stuff for years. And the economy, to the consternation of the Democrats, appears to be clawing its way back. The unemployment numbers on Friday were a very pleasant surprise. In fact, it was just a year ago this week that the stock market, at least the Dow, hit its bottom, its five-year bottom. It's up 32 or 33%, mm-hmm. I think, year over year. Mm-hmm. But remember, on the way, and this is politics. I'm not being angry about this. We would do the same thing if I were a Democrat. Or a Democrat were in the White House. But the Democrats were screaming bloody murder.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm glad you fixed that, because you and a Democrat, I just can't see that. But
no, so if I were a Democrat, I would be doing this too. that the only true measure of economic health in the country is the stock market, when it was going down. Let me finish the point.
Hold on to that thought, Rich. We've got to take a quick break, folks, and sell a few things here. We'll be right back with Rich Gannon after these messages. It's 20 till. Stay with us.
I'll soon be with you, my love.
We're back at 17 till the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with us today. And let me tell you about our guest show coming up straight ahead. Brian Fitzpatrick's going to join us. He's going to tell us about some things that the post office has got going on that he wants, that they'd like for us to know about. And since you and I use the post office, I thought that'd be awfully handy. Rick Pinion, will be with us after that. And we're going to talk about financial planning. Rhonda Herschel is the Minority Small Business Winner of the Year, and we're going to find out what she's got going on in her business. And then John Capal is with the Proposition 13 folks out in California. This is going to be the morning before the election in California, which Rich Gaylord and I are going to get into a little bit later on in the show. But he's going to give us a little bit of a rundown on how things are going the morning of the election out in California, and that's coming up in our next show. Rich Gaylord is our guest, and his website, folks, is Mullings.com, two L's, I-N-G-S, Mullings, M-U-L-L-I-N-G-S.com. And folks, this is a fun and informative publication that you can subscribe to for free. And it comes thrice weekly, and it's just outstanding. It's very, each article is fairly short, just takes a minute and a half to read it, and I think you'll enjoy it. And even if you're not of the Republican persuasion, as is Rich, I think you'll enjoy it for no other reason than to find out what the Republicans are up to. And so I encourage you to join
the one Republican.
What have you got? Something under a million subscribers now, Rich?
Yeah, just under a million. It's a little over 26,000, which is pretty good.
He's my hero, folks. Rich, now we were taking the break, I'm going to set you back up for where you were by saying this, and it almost can't. I'm having a hard time getting it out of my mouth. If Rich were a Democrat, I think that's where you were.
I would be doing the same thing as the Democrats are doing, which is keep moving the goalposts in terms of what counts as a signal of an improving economy. What I was saying was that when the stock market was dropping, Democrats correctly were saying, "Oh, woe is us," because everybody's 401ks were dropping in value and all the things that went along with it. Now that the stock market's gone up, the Dow's up 30-something percent, the Nasdaq's back up 63% from its low. The Democrats have moved the goalpost, and now the only test of a successful economy is the unemployment numbers. And when unemployment begins to drop, then Democrats will find another piece of the economic picture that they will try to magnify to say this is the only test. But I think everybody needs to feel better about the way things are going. Earnings season starts tomorrow, and we'll see how the third quarter numbers look for people. And
well, as you mentioned earlier, the employment numbers are, we may not like the numbers, but we've got to like the trend.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, there's a lot of jobs that just aren't going to come back. As I said earlier in the segment, Jim, I used to work for Electronic Data Systems, and I owned the Middle East for them back in the 90s. And one of the things I was about to do before I came back to Washington was to really open a bunch of operations in India, simply because India grows systems engineers like toadstools after a rainstorm, and
I'm not sure why it is,
but they're very high quality and they're relatively inexpensive. So, from a business standpoint, the question is: do you want to pay five systems engineers $85,000 a piece to do the work in Bradenton, Florida, or five systems engineers at, 22.5 to do the work in Bangalore, India. Mm-hmm. And I think, as you know, if you have any responsibility to your shareholders, you know what the answer to that is. So a lot of those jobs that people were engaged in simply aren't going to come back. And people that saw that and were at the, recognized they were going to have to get retrained and find new areas of business, now are probably fairly happily employed in a whole new area that they
doing
never
something else.
Believed they'd be in.
Rich, let's change subjects just for a little bit. And it seems that every presidency that I've ever followed, there's one serious challenge if not many serious challenges. Is the Bush 43 challenge going to be the scandal, the spy scandal, the CIA scandal?
Yeah, I called it a tempest in a sweet mint teapot dome last week. Without getting into the entirety of the issue, the question is who in the administration called reporters to point out the fact that this guy Joe Wilson, who is a former ambassador, and was sent to Niger to see if the Iraqis were indeed trying to buy what's called yellow cake, the precursor to buying to making nuclear weapons, mm-hmm. that guy's wife is it works for the CIA. Now, there are a lot of questions that go into this. One, who did it, and why is the first question. I cannot conceive of why. I wrote in a column last week that Paul Krattner, the former member of Jefferson Airplane, used to say San Francisco is 49 square miles surrounded by reality. And I wrote that if political stupidity were a crime, it was bipartisan, if it were a crime, that Washington, D.C. would be 49 square miles surrounded by razor wire because everybody does stupid things. But the point is that somebody called Bob Novak and then... or at least told Bob Novak. I don't think they called him. I think that just was an offhanded remark. And then said about Novak wrote a column about it. This is last July. Wrote about the fact that this guy's wife worked in the CIA. He says that the CIA told him that she was an analyst in the weapons of mass destruction section. Now, naming a CIA employee as a CIA employee is no different than naming a employee of Housing and Urban Development. I mean, it doesn't. There's no law against that.
Right.
The law specifically is for a government employee to name a clandestine officer.
That might put them in jeopardy. And, of course, the plot thickened when everybody realizes that Mr. Wilson, her husband, who went to Niger, as you said, is an outspoken opponent of Mr.
Critic.
Bush. And
yeah,
we're
going to
pick up
outspoken.
On that right after these messages, folks. Okay. Intel, stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back, and we're getting jiggy with our good friend Rich Galen. And don't forget to check out his website, folks.
Jiggy with me, pal.
That's mullings.com, mullings.com.
My getting jiggy days are long past.
He is Mr. Jiggy, folks. That's what we call him around here.
I got to take a nap just thinking about getting jiggy.
Mr. Jiggy, Rich Galen, ladies and gentlemen. And we're talking about politics. Rich, what I want to ask you, though, about on this thing with Wilson, here's the bottom line, folks. We needed somebody to go to Niger to check out this thing with Iraq. A lady in the CIA just says, my husband knows about that. He can go. Turns out that the guy who they sent is not a guy who likes Mr. Bush. He goes over there. He comes back, and he gives a report that we didn't like. I don't know whether it was true or not, but we didn't like the report. And he becomes very, very outspoken about the thing.
And he writes an op-ed piece in the New York Times.
And comes on, and he's on television. I remember seeing his first debut on television, talking about how misguided the president's foreign policy is, et cetera, et cetera. And so now he believes that somebody in the White House has outed his wife, who may or may not be a clandestine agent for the CIA. So here's the bottom line, though, Rich. Here's what I want you to help us with, and the reason we're paying you the big bucks today. And that is
you must have a security number because you haven't actually needed it before.
We'll get you. That's in the mail, by the way. So, what does Mr. Bush have to do to make sure this doesn't turn into a millstone around his neck?
Well, I'm not sure it ever would be. On page A5, of course, it's A5 because it's good news. The headline of the Washington Post this morning is Wilson: Bush not party to leak. So that of course, that was, if that, he would have said Bush was a party to it, it would have been on A1.
Right.
But I don't think anybody believes this goes up to the level of the president. The answer is somebody did this, and they need to, as I wrote last week, this ends in 5 minutes when whoever did this makes one more phone call, and that's to the Andy Carr, the president's chief of staff, and says, it was me, and my resignation letter is on its way to you, and then it's over.
Well,
also, six reporters know who it is because they called him. And this person called him. But and the column I wrote this morning was a discussion about the business of using anonymous sources and leaks and things like that, which has just become rampant in Washington. I mean, I know you don't want to spend too much time on this, but in the olden days, like 10 years ago or so, that was a long discussion. If I was being interviewed or having a conversation with a reporter and I wanted to go on background, we would have a fairly lengthy discussion about why I wanted to go on background and whether it was necessary. Yes, just yesterday, I was talking to a senior reporter from a great Metropolitan Daily. And in the middle of it, I said, can we have a background for a second? He said, yeah, sure. And so it just changed. I mean, the reporters aren't as assiduous about getting on-the-record sources.
Right.
And then off-the-record sources like me like to run around saying, you know, when my quote gets in the paper, kind of poking, you know, nudging people and say, yeah, that was me.
Why can't we find out if she is, in fact, a clandestine agent?
That's the question I keep asking people. And, the problem is you can't. You know, it's the CIA. Who knows what they're up to?
Well, today Wilson is saying that he thinks his wife is in danger.
Well, because it serves his purposes.
Right.
To do. I mean, the law of unintended consequences is in full force here. If whoever did this thought they were going to intimidate Wilson and keep him quiet, this has certainly had the opposite effect. I mean, Wilson, has been on every TV show. You know, everybody with a transmitter of 10 watts or more, and he's been on. So. It's not clear to me
on a scale of 1 to 10, what's this story going to mean a year from now?
Oh, it's 2.
2? Okay. Let's move on quickly. We've got just over a minute. California, the land of fruits and nuts.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is everything that Arnold's people said was going to happen. One of the problems with these kinds of late-breaking allegations is there's no time to refute them. And in California, every living person, when you're born, you are given a little manual on how to get your name in the paper. So it would not surprise me if before the end of the day, at least one woman accused Schwarzenegger just not of groping but of actually attempting rape because she'll get her name in the paper and he won't be able to have time to refute it.
Having said all that,
Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to be the governor of California.
Yeah, I think you're right. And the interesting thing, though, is the people who remember the MoveOn.com folks who wanted people to move on from Clinton's?
Oh, the hypocrisy is just beyond.
As we look around, there's plenty of hypocrisy to go around, isn't there?
Oh yeah, oh absolutely.
On both sides.
Yeah, I said to somebody yesterday. You know, he said, "Well, what about the hypocrisy of the Republicans?" I said, "The Republicans. What about the hypocrisy of the Democrats?" I said, "Here's what I would say to them. You convinced us you were right. We were wrong. Now shut up."
Hey, Rich, thanks for being here. Mullings.com, folks. Check that out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe. And his letter's like mine. If you don't like it, all you got to do is let him take you off his list. Thanks, Rich. See you next time. Rich Galen, ladies and gentlemen. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest entrepreneurial country in the world. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. This program.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.